Hello and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that looks at what's new and notable in management research and how it can enhance your effectiveness as a manager in your organization. I'm Mike Johnson, an assistant professor of management and organization at the University of Washington Business School in Seattle. In today's episode, we talk with Marie Mitchell. Marie is an assistant professor of management at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and also a faculty member in the Gallup Leadership Institute. We talk about a recent paper that Marie and her co-author Maureen Ambrose of the University of Central Florida published in the Journal of Applied Psychology on abusive supervision and workplace deviance. Marie, thanks for being on Under New Management.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Marie, can you tell us how you became interested in the topic that you studied?
What my co-author Maureen Ambrose and I noticed is that researchers had really strongly emphasized employees' destructive behavior at work, and less research focused on the destructive behaviors that supervisors and managers engage in. And so with that in mind, we really were curious about abusive supervisors and destructive supervisors within the workplace.
Can you tell us what abusive supervision is?
Yes, abusive supervision is employees' perceptions of purposeful and continuously abusive behavior by their supervisor.
And so what are some examples of that?
Managers constantly verbally abusing their employees, managers who talk down to their employees, who withhold needed information, who arbitrarily use their power and authority over their employees to mistreat them in a derogatory way.
Well, this makes me curious. Marie, have you ever had an abusive supervisor?
Absolutely. In a previous life, I worked in law firms from the lowest position of a paralegal up all the way through management. And what I noticed that while lawyers are getting great training to be pit bulls in a courtroom, they receive very little management training. And as a consequence, they treat their employees very similarly as they would somebody on cross-examination. And as a manager, as I was raised through the ranks, it became an everyday trial to manage employees' complaints about how abusive their bosses were to them and to try to get the lawyers to understand how important that was. So, yes, absolutely, I've dealt with it.
And I imagine this isn't limited just to lawyers, but you probably find this throughout all sorts of organizations.
Absolutely. This is not something that is limited to just lawyers. Unfortunately, there are many individuals who become managers who have never received managerial training. And there are those who have received managerial training who are just nevertheless abusive.
Okay. Well, tell us about workplace deviance, which was the other focus of your study.
Workplace deviance are behaviors that employees engage in at work that are harmful to the organization and its members and violate organizational norms. So these are not behaviors that are accepted by those in the workplace or are generally something that people engage in all the time. They're outside that scope. Researchers have shown that there are basically two types of deviant behaviors people can engage in. Those that are organizational, and examples of that are sabotage, theft, property damage. And then there are interpersonal forms of deviance, which are deviant behaviors that are targeted at specific individuals, harassing people, and then gossiping about people, that type of thing.
And so what did you expect to find in terms of a relationship between abusive supervision and then workplace deviance by their employees?
Well, based on theories of aggression and theories about retaliation, we believed that employees who are victimized by an abusive supervisor would be most likely to retaliate against them, so they would direct their deviance towards the supervisor, and specifically to get them back, to harm them in some way.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. But then you also talk about the theory of displaced aggression. So they might target some other people, too. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The theory of displaced aggression is basically the foundation for all of our predictions. According to aggression theory, when people become frustrated or they're mistreated in some way, they either retaliate against the source of that harm, which is the basis of our retaliation hypotheses, or they might take it out on other people. And the reason for that is either the individual that is acting out can't retaliate against the source of the harm because perhaps they're physically not there, or they're unable to because they fear that that individual is going to get them back in some way in the future. And when that occurs, frustration theory suggests that individuals displace their aggression on others. For example, a husband has a bad day with his boss, goes home, takes it out on his wife, the wife on the kids kick the dog. So we predicted that employees who were dealing with an abusive supervisor would also act out against the organization and then also their coworkers.
You had kind of a unique sample that you drew on. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. When you research deviance and aggression in the workplace, it becomes an interesting challenge because entering organizations to investigate these kinds of behaviors are not something that organizational leaders really want you to do.
Absolutely.
And even if you do gain access, employees actually really don't respond very honestly because they fear managers are going to see their responses, so they're not quite as honest. With that in mind, Maureen Ambrose and I sat down and thought of where could we interview or survey individuals on perceived abusive supervision and their own deviant behavior that they wouldn't have fear it would get back to them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And we really wanted a diverse population as well. So we gained access to a jury assembly. And basically, I went in after their orientation and before they were selected for a court case and asked them for their help to participate in our study. And over the course of a few weeks, a variety of individuals helped us from just a very diverse background of industries and jobs. And in general, it was just wonderful.
What a great idea, because people are sitting there for hours with basically nothing to do, right?
Yes. Some of the individuals would be sitting in the jury assembly for up to 7 hours.
Wow.
And so they were happy to complete a survey that would kind of pass the time a little bit.
Sure.
While they were there.
And so you're able to get several hundred people across a wide variety of jobs from that sample.
Yes. You know, it was interesting because you could actually have somebody who is in a lawyer position, somebody in a construction position, a teacher, whomever. A variety of individuals came up and participated in the study.
Great. And so what were your results?
Our results show that individuals who experienced an abusive supervisor engaged in supervisor-directed deviance, so they retaliated against their supervisor.
And they were willing. They were willing to admit that.
Yes. Yes. We had robust findings on that. We also found that individuals who experienced an abusive supervisor also displaced their frustration on the organization by way of organizational deviance and on coworkers. So they actually interpersonally abused them as well.
Wow. So what sorts of things did they report doing in terms of deviance to coworkers?
Gossiping about them, purposefully being rude to them in terms of saying derogatory terms against them or using derogatory physical gestures against them.
Okay, so what are the practical implications of your study for managers?
We believe that our results provide some telling evidence for managers. And the biggest issue here is that abusive supervision is a perception by the employee. Whether or not the manager actually intended to harm that employee or abuse them, The employee is perceiving it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really important for managers because managers often have to give constructive feedback about performance, talk to their employees, and delegate work. And if they're interpersonally not doing that effectively, employees actually may believe that they're abusing them. And if that's the case, our results suggest that employees then act quite deviantly by retaliating against that supervisor, by displacing their aggression on the organization and employees. The other element of this is that if employees displace their aggression on other employees, then the victims of that, the employees, might actually do the same.
Mm.
They might then retaliate back at the employee.
Mm-hmm.
Or displace their aggression on other employees. And what that suggests is that abusive supervision may actually lead to a spiral of deviance within organizations and set quite a destructive environment in the workplace.
And in fact, in your paper, you refer to this as the chain of abuse.
Yes, the chain of abuse. So it's very, very important for managers then and leaders of organizations to model appropriate behaviors. I actually think it's a mandate for leaders to be responsible not only to their own interpersonal behaviors with their own employees, but to look to see what other supervisors are doing as well. Because one of the primary ways employees learn what's appropriate work is by looking at their managers and other leaders in the organization. Mm-hmm. Whether it's at a line level of management, middle management, and executive management, employees look to them to see how they should be behaving at work. If leaders are being abusive, then that tells employees that that's appropriate behavior, which can set a very destructive work climate and environment. And given how damaging the financial, emotional, psychological costs to organization and its employees, it is something that leaders really need to address, either through training or through a one-by-one case situation, and just make sure that their leaders are being respectful to their employees and maintaining a healthy work climate.
Okay, Marisa, what's the bottom line for managers?
The bottom line is that managers need to continuously assess their own behaviors and interactions with their employees and understand that while they may not be intending to abuse their employees, they may be perceived as such. Therefore, they really need to build the skill set to interact with their employees appropriately. The other second element of this is they also need to take responsibility and monitor other supervisors and employees' behavior so that they minimize any destructive effects altogether on the organization and actually create a very healthy work environment for all concerned.
Great. Marie, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.